I was pushing and forcing and wanting to be in my purpose and sharing so much. But then when I would get the things, I'd have the big launch, I'd make the money that I wanted to make. I was suddenly in the rooms with all the people that I like, you know, once pedestalized and wanted to be around or whatever. It never felt the way I thought it was going to feel because it wasn't coming from the truly aligned place of wholeness, worthiness, deservingness of giving. It was like, I'm trying to fill something that I haven't felt.
Welcome to the Body Forward Podcast. I'm Kenzie Burke, your host. I am devoted to living a life that is full of transformation. Like a snake, shedding layers, coming back home to myself and remembering who I really am. I have found that the answers we are often looking for, the freedom we seek to feel, the creative energy we desire, the confidence we would like to embody is not something outside of us, but within us. Our bodies are full of wisdom, remembrance, liberation, and it is here on this podcast where I share my personal journey and conversations with my mentors, friends, and others who are aspirational in living a life full of transformation. Welcome to this episode with Rachel Gibler. I love this conversation because Rachel has gone through what I've been going through, what a lot of people I think need to know that other people go through. I found Rachel last summer from a video on my Explore page, and it was her on her podcast, and the video opened with her saying, people ask me all the time, when was your spiritual awakening? And I say, every fucking day of my life. And I saw that video and I was like, who is this girl? And I saw that she followed me and I DM'd her and she was like, I live in Austin. And I was like, I'm thinking about moving to Austin. And we just started talking and she was really going through something so similar in what I was going through. It felt like both of us going through our Saturn returns, both of us processing traumas we've never processed before. She was on a break from her podcast and her work. And she said to me, you know, I've been in the Vitamix. And I was like, me too. And then through that, I've just watched how she's really taken the time and space to process her trauma, to work on herself, to take time to honor her emotions. And she took a very big break from work, from being forward-facing. She has a very successful podcast and she's an entrepreneur. She's had multiple businesses, sold businesses. And yeah, it was just so nice to connect with her. And this conversation is really, really, really good and real and deep and honest. And I think that you will feel comfort in knowing that a lot of people go through stuff and it's okay. It's really how you choose to handle it. And to have a conversation with Rachel and see how she's handled her ways and her deck of cards and how she's taken the time and space to process her emotions is special and inspiring and real. And it's just so nice to connect with someone else who's gone through what I've been going through. And yeah, I'm really happy to share Rachel with you. So jump on in. This is a good one. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Me too.
There's so many places we can go in this conversation.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a relevant conversation that we can have given the times. And some of us have really gotten the call to heal and go in.
Yeah.
And the reemerging process is intense because you've changed.
Yeah.
And I've changed and we've changed. So there's so many places we can go. I think we should deep dive into just that and where you've been.
Yeah.
And your journey. But to kind of start the podcast off, I'd love to hear your story a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. I love this.
Where you've been.
Gosh, it's been such a journey, such a death and rebirth, many. And I've gone through one of my biggest this year, which is almost shocking because of the story and the path that I've walked. But for anybody watching this who maybe doesn't know me or my story, I I always say my story starts when I was 16 years old, and I was an only child to two very in love parents. I had a very beautiful upbringing from the outside looking in, and everything kind of shattered when I was 16. My father died in a freak accident, and it sent me on a downward spiral for 8 years, and I was really escaping my body, numbing out in such a trauma response and living in fight or flight for a very long time. I didn't have that language at the time, but that was what was happening. And I went through drug and alcohol abuse and abusive relationships and just numbing out on anything that I could. And when I was 23 years old, I was working a corporate job, working 80 hours a week for someone else, grinding and going out partying on the weekends, running on a hamster wheel, having absolutely no idea of this world of self-development, of spirituality. I really had no framework for anything outside of myself and my current state that I was in. But I knew that there was a different way, and I could feel that I was being called to tell my story, to change my life. I wanted to be an inspiration for people. I wanted to one day have a blog or a podcast or, you know, something. I had no idea how to get there. And one day I myself was in a freak accident. And about a week before this, I will never forget, I was on my lunch break at work, and I was crying to my mom on the phone. I was like, gosh, I wish time would just stop so I can think, so I can figure out what I want to do with my life. Like, I'm not being of service. I'm not living in my purpose. I don't even know what that means. And now I imagine the universe laughing, and your wish is my command. Mm-hmm. And I get in my own accident, and I was forced to take 3 months medical leave. And laying in that bed, I had this epiphany that if I used that time wisely, it wouldn't be all for nothing. So that was my first really big awakening.
And how old were you?
I was 23 at the time. And I laid in bed and found self-development, started studying these principles, started, you know, surrounding myself at that time with podcasts, books. Like, I didn't have anyone speaking this language that was around me. And eventually went off, quit my job. You know, 8 months later, started posting my story on Instagram, sharing these tools that I was learning. And I was still so at the beginning of my journey, had no idea what was to come. But that was the beginning. And then over the past, gosh, it's been almost 6 years now, really going through, first it was like, I say I went through the front door of self-development, which was very goal-driven, masculine, mindset, affirmation. Exactly. Yeah. Like, go, push, do the thing. And that was really helpful, you know, it's the beginning, right? It's the beginning for many people. And that eventually led me on a path into spirituality and beginning to ask questions around, because I was really waking up from being atheist at the time too, which is such a journey. And so I was searching for answers of, you know, what do you mean ask for a sign? And I would do it, and then it would come true, or I would see it. And I'm like, there's no way this is real. So I started going down the quantum physics route and going down the how everything is connected. And I wanted science and to explain spirituality. So that was a really big piece of my journey. And once I really built my faith muscle and my belief muscle and understanding and had a framework, then I got really deep into the body and into somatics and into nervous system regulation. that piece. And now the divine feminine, and gone down a deep path of embodiment. And
that
ultimately
really changes everything.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. So that's been my journey
awakening.
For a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
And most recently, 2.5 years ago, I launched my podcast, It's Fucking Spiritual, and that took off really quickly. And I found myself suddenly, like, you know, everything I ever wanted, the vision board that I had, I had manifested, and I didn't feel any different. Mm-hmm. And that began to show cracks that I had in my foundation, because that I wasn't even aware of, right? Mm-hmm. That was in the back of my psyche. And that was what ultimately led me into, okay, now I really want a life that feels just as good as it looks. And how do we do that?
Yeah.
And so that's been my now journey.
Where you've been.
Yeah, that's the crash course.
The same exact journey. <I know. laughs> The same exact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we align so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's opening such a big box when you admit. I mean, my biggest thing is just admitting like, oh, I've been really depressed.
Yeah.
You know, and just having to actually feel that pain that mm-hmm. I've pushed down.
Yeah.
You know, and really the feminine embodiment and the Kundalini awakening mm-hmm. and all of that is, for me at least, and I don't know if you can say the same, but it's been such a deep karmic breaking cycle yeah. where everything in my body is breaking. I am dying on so many levels, and a lot mm-hmm. of the pain I'm feeling and the things I'm processing through my body and the beliefs and just the suppression and all of that, a lot of it's not even mine.
Yeah.
And then with that comes the anger of I've been holding this mm-hmm. for you and yeah. for this bloodline. And it's just deep, deep sacred work.
Yeah.
And something about your story. So you had also businesses.
Yeah.
Like brick and mortar. Yeah. When did you build those?
Those came a little bit after my first awakening when I was 23. So when I quit my job, I ended up going into building these brick and mortar businesses that were salons. And it was kind of my entry into entrepreneurship. And I was documenting my my journey from corporate to becoming an entrepreneur. And so at the time, I was also learning online business and structure and funnels and how all this stuff worked, but I wasn't putting it out there yet. I was just telling my story and documenting without selling anything online, which actually I think was really a beautiful experience, because a lot of people come out the gates and go, I'm going to start this brand and I want to immediately make money from it and all this stuff. And I instead had my brick and mortar businesses that I was beginning to build. So I was just documenting, mm-hmm. I was just building a community and just giving and giving and giving for about 3 years before I decided to move into coaching. And I had those brick and mortar businesses. I started with one, ended up with a second one. At the time, I think at the height of it, I was 25 years old with 25 employees. And it was a lot. And it wasn't what I wanted, you know, and it looked great on the outside, like, whoa, you're young and you have these businesses and that's so cool. But it didn't feel like that. I felt like I was a glorified front desk person that was still strapped to a 9-to-5 because I was in the salon working all the time. I didn't have the time.
And holding a lot of responsibility.
And holding a lot of responsibility and not really fully sure what I was doing. We had those all the way through COVID. And that was a whole journey, because obviously there was having a brick and mortar business during COVID was a whole thing. Yep. And at the time, in 2021 was when I really launched my brand and said, okay, I'm going all in on the online thing. And then when that took off, I sold my first two businesses because I just didn't want to do them anymore. But
I asked that also just saying that, you know, you found that it didn't give you what you thought you wanted. And a lot of, in my own recent dark night of the soul, death, all of that, it's processing all the businesses that I couldn't hold on to. And what mm-hmm. I've really stepped into is I thought at certain points that for more of that masculine goal, like the app's going to bring me what I want. Mm-hmm. The product line's good. This is going to make me happy. This is mm-hmm. when I, and every time I couldn't hold it.
Yeah.
Because there was cracks in my foundation. I didn't have what I'm now getting into mm-hmm. like and centering with and aligning with. So with this recent death portal that you've been in, what has it been like? Because, and like, where has it even began? Because
oh my gosh.
To die, you have to feel everything.
Yeah.
And something that I've learned through this and through somatic training and all of that, it's like trauma is an event that didn't get to complete.
Mm-hmm.
Something that didn't. So if anyone's holding trauma, you have to ask them what didn't get to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I've opened this box, I've had to literally go feel every single thing in my body, which put me, I wasn't expecting to take such a break from life or to feel like everything's going to change.
Yeah.
And as I've started to feel each thing, every single thing in my life is changing.
Yeah.
As all of that, as I'm completing these patterns, mm-hmm. these parts of me are dying.
Yeah.
So I want to hear about your journey.
I love this. And it's so resonant because that's just exactly where I have been for a year. And I think what I look back and realize now, and also moving to Austin and being in this industry and There's so many beautiful parts about it, but because I'm working so much on my own wounding, I can also see the wounding of an industry. And
it's a rabbit hole.
I've had to be really firm
in the past couple weeks, because I could literally go down the plant medicine route, go doing all these things and never come back. And so I've had to be super discerning in the past 3 weeks of like, Kenz.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And put your walls up a little bit. Yeah. Like
discernment is so real.
A little bit, because when you're kind of spiritual and you're, I'm like, ew, yeah, like, I'll go fuck around.
Holy, I want to try this. Yeah. And it just gets disassociating from the real world. Yeah, totally. And it also really matters, the space that you're in, the people that you're calibrating to. Just because someone speaks a language doesn't necessarily mean that you want to be calibrating to that individual. And so it's been just really, an interesting space of discernment. But the reason I bring that up is because what I see in myself and what I also can see in this industry a bit is that, like, I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to push. I'm going to create it. I'm going to get the followers. I'm going to get the numbers. And like, it's subconscious, but you don't realize that, like, it's to fill something often. And it can even be in the identity around, I'm living in my purpose. I'm helping people. I'm giving people breakthroughs. There's like an attachment to that of like, I'm enough when I can do that. Mm-hmm. And it's also driven by something that's beautiful, right? Because you have a desire to help people. You have a desire to change people's lives and all of this. But it's like, are you actually... what space are you coming from? Is that to fill a void within yourself? And so what I noticed for me was that I was pushing and forcing and wanting to be in my purpose and sharing so much. But then when I would get the things, I'd have the big launch, I'd make the money that I wanted to make. I was suddenly in the rooms with all the people that I once pedestalized and wanted to be around or whatever. It never felt the way I thought it was going to feel because it wasn't coming from the truly aligned place of wholeness, worthiness, deservingness of giving. It was like, I'm trying to fill something that I haven't felt yet. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that, right? So I have so much compassion for anyone that's in that, because many of us can be, right? And it comes from wounding. So for me, what I began to uncover on this journey was, as I was growing and getting the stuff and getting the recognition and the accolades and all of those things, and they weren't filling the void, I had to pause and say, okay, there's something deeper here that's going on that clearly I'm meant to uncover and reveal within myself and my own life, so that, you know, I can do it for myself, and then maybe one day that's a path that I do end up teaching. And what I had realized was, when I paused and got silent to listen and I went down my own somatic journey, was that I had never actually processed and accepted my father's death. And even though I thought I had grieved because I'd cried, it's been almost 13 years, like, you know, it... from a time perspective, like, oh, wouldn't you think that you've accepted it now, right? But that's not what ended up happening. And what I was actually doing was trying to get the life I thought I was going to have that got ripped away from me. I was trying to get my father's approval in the other people that were around me. I was pedestalizing my father, so therefore I was pedestalizing these other people. And I never actually processed the anger, the hurt, the grief, the abandonment that he's gone. And I never accepted that he was on the other side. And so I couldn't even connect with him or have a relationship with him. And people would ask me, like, oh, do you connect with your dad on the other side? And I was like, no. And so I also felt abandoned, because I felt like he wasn't there. I don't know. I was like, I can't feel that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is, because I never actually accepted his passing, I couldn't accept him in his new form. Therefore, I couldn't connect with him. So that's what I uncovered for myself. And there's other pieces to that, that, you know, when he was alive, things that in our relationship from when I was young, and certain, you know, we all get programming from our parents, right? But I shut that down in my psyche, because he became my angel and he was perfect. And, you know, once he passed, I never wanted to remember anything that was hard about our relationship.
Right.
And so going through the somatic process over the last 3 months, it was almost as if I had to go back, or I did go back, and I became that six-year-old that felt incapable and invalidated by him. And I felt those emotions. And then I became the 10-year-old that felt like he never paid attention to me. And I never, you know, like, and then I became the 16-year-old that was really angry that everything got ripped away. Like, I had to go back and essentially, in a spiritual sense, do soul retrieval of mm-hmm. that part of me that got fragmented in that moment, and bring her back into my body and let her feel all the things and let her grieve and cry and scream and be with it. And it's not pretty, and it's a really deep process, and begin integrating her and reparenting her and being with her and letting her have her feelings. And as I've been doing that, and I'm still doing it, it's a process, but I've gone through like the deepest pieces of it right now. It's almost like I've become this completely different person, where I'm so much more grounded and fortified and free. And I feel like I'm beginning to have all of me mm-hmm. again, and can now come from that place. And now it's suddenly like the pull of all the things and the stuff. And I'm so happy to have all of that, but it's not from the same desire and need that I had before.
Yeah, and you felt the pain. Mm-hmm. I think when you really feel the pain, yeah. it changes.
Yeah.
Life changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so hard to fucking feel it.
Yeah.
It's so hard. And when you feel it, you're never the same. And the things that you cared about, they don't matter anymore right. as much.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, more so you're just like, I'm just happy to be having a good day.
Right.
I'm just happy to be mm-hmm. feeling like okay in my body right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah. And it's like that feeling of, you know, actually I've got me.
Yeah.
Like, I've got me.
Yeah.
All of me. And I trust me. And that little girl now is trusting me again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been such a beautiful and transformative experience. Just feeling like, no, I'm in my spine. I know who I am, and
mm-hmm.
kind of don't need the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can trust now that your decisions are coming from that place.
Yeah.
That's been coming through so much for me. Just mm-hmm. processing how I was operating before. So all my decisions were from a place of fear and trauma, and I'm afraid I'm not going to be live tomorrow, and making decisions that weren't really in my highest, or that put me in a really stressful position, or that just didn't feel aligned, or like mm-hmm. things I've said or done that just didn't feel like me.
Yeah.
And lately I've had to reparent myself of, I can trust that when I speak now, when I do something now, that it's coming from a different place because I'm different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This whole new... Because even, I don't know if you feel this way, but like when you're operating from that other place, I all of a sudden felt so disconnected from everything I did. Because I was like,
yeah.
that was my trauma. That was my fear. That was my poor girl, just so abandoned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so afraid, creating those things, doing those things, saying those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an insatiable need that never gets filled.
Mm-hmm.
And so nothing actually feels the way you think it's going to feel. And it's so in deep in the shadow and in the subconscious. It's like you don't even realize that it's happening. Also because you're getting positive reinforcement from it. So yeah,
you're so great. You create so much. Right. Everything you make turns to gold. Wow.
How do you do that? Wow, that's so amazing.
Yeah. And then that's your identity. And mm-hmm. I have to make everything look nice. I do good things. I'm a branding girl. I'm mm-hmm. And deep down, I'm like, I'm so fucking sad.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is such a beautiful and important conversation. And I really acknowledge you too for just the willingness to share it and be so open and honest and say, you know, I'm sad, or I'm depressed, or this sucks and this is hard. And it's something that is so important to me too, is just that level of realness
mm-hmm.
because we live in such an age and a society where people are scrolling on social media all day. They're comparing themselves to you. They're comparing themselves to me. They're comparing themselves to everyone else. I do it too. I'll scroll and compare myself to, and it's like, you have no idea what that person's life is actually like, no matter how it's presented on social media. So I think it's so important that we have these conversations.
What going through.
Yeah. And depedestalize. Like, that's a huge mission of mine now, is the depedestalization of the teacher or the guru or the person that you think has it all together on social media. It's like, we really need to begin humanizing ourselves on a massive scale.
I mean, we're coming into the age of Aquarius right now, mm-hmm. which is taking away, we are all God. Like, we are all, there is no more putting people on pedestals.
Yeah.
And I do believe that some of us who are really supposed to be having these conversations, we've really gotten put through it.
Yeah.
Because it was, and we talked over the summer, we connected on social media, and it was literally like the Vitamix just got turned the fuck on. You know? And, you know, it was like it's been an initiation. That's what it's felt like a deep initiation. Even like how the journey's been showing, like deep Kundalini awakenings, being forced to like connect to my pelvic floor, being forced, you know, and it feels so, it's like my hands are in the air, you know, it's been really forcing me to do this. And now that I'm connecting with people and like relationships are changing, which I'm sure you've been experiencing, I've had to cut deep cords with some people, but now who I'm connecting with, it's all other people who are also have been in this path lately, and we're having these conversations, and it's just so obvious to me that this is where we're headed. And it's so important for all of us to be like here, process our emotions, and it's not going to end. And that's something that like I've had to deeply accept lately too, is this is my path. I'm here for this. I have tried to escape this my whole life, that I'm here for radical transformation, always changing, always shedding skin, always piercing into the dark. Now that I can accept that, how can I be here too? And embody that, you know, and not judge the different businesses or the different things I'm offered. It's like, I'm really here for transformation.
It's so beautiful. And it's such a surrender to deep uncertainty. And I really feel you in the empowerment of the individual. And I think that is the age that we are ushering in now, is like really having conversations around empowering people in their own divinity. I think for me, what's really shifted through this process is really looking at what am I in devotion to in every moment of my life, and what path am I walking, and how can I be in devotion to love? How can I be in devotion to unity? How can I be in devotion to empowering the other individual? And how do I walk that path in a way that that is how I live my life in every moment and every conversation, not from a space of like, I've walked this path for so long and like, I know what, you know, I know what to do. Or there's a lot of that also. And it's like, listen, I want to empower people to be able to get right with their own inner voice and their own intuition and learn how to trust that. Don't fucking listen to me. Like, can I curse on this?
I'm the worst.
Don't take inspiration from people. Many of us have walked this path and might know some languaging and things like that. But at the end of the day, like, we all need to be empowering each other to listen to our own inner voice. And that's it. That's it. Like,
And what are you, I love what you said, what are you devoted to? And that really comes through taking a beat, taking a moment, opening this Pandora's box of healing. And really it comes in those moments of silence, in those moments of asking, you know, just show me. And it comes, and then it's like really aligning with what you're in devotion to. Staying with it and sharing and being from that place. And not apologizing for it and not trying to put it on anyone. It's like, this is me. I'm devoted to this. And then through that, it gives other people permission to drop in. Like even just taking a break. And that's why I really wanted to talk to you about this, because there are so many points. I had to channel you a lot in the past 2 months. Like, Rachel's done this.
Call me anytime.
Because it's, you know, you have to trust so much. Like, when you're in that really dark place, that A, you're going to come out of it. And B, that it's okay. It's okay to go away for a little while.
It's so necessary.
Yeah.
And we live in a culture that pushes us to create, do more, consume,
apologize.
And tell people what's going on. Like, it's so weird, the space that we live in. And it's like, when I just surrendered to say, I'm not doing my podcast right now. I'm not going to output right now. I'm not going to push and force and do, because what am I in devotion to? Actually in devotion to becoming, and to the transformation, and to actually walking that path, so that I can speak from a place of true integrity and alignment and embodiment and knowing in my bones, not just knowing a language. and the right things to say, right? I want to be able to feel it and know it and do it for myself and be able to come from that place. And when I do, that is what lands with people. And that is what actually changes the world, when we can change ourselves first. So it really required me to surrender to expectation and surrender to what people would think about it. And even though I know people aren't even really thinking about me, right? Like, how often are people really concerned about what we're doing? But we have all of those stories and those fears of like, oh, I can't do this. And it's just like, no, a part of the path is the expansion and the contraction and the riding the waves of life. And life is like a heartbeat and it's up and down. And that's the whole point of being alive. So when I accepted that, it just, yeah, I feel like it's so permission giving. I hope it's permission giving for people to realize that, like, that's the point of this path.
Yeah. And then when you do speak, it's ready. It's aligned. It's there. And it's full of stuff for someone else.
Yeah.
That was really even a lot of what I was processing too, is just like how not ready I was at some points, you know, not having my own foundation.
Yeah.
To the point where like everything could crumble at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did not lay my foundation.
Yeah. Yeah, when the foundation comes, this was huge for me. When the foundation comes from outside of ourselves to try to fill the crack in the foundation, it immediately can crumble at any moment. And instead of coming from the inside out and filling it that way, which is what I feel like the path that I'm on and you're on now, it's the true foundation that becomes unshakable. In the face of uncertainty and in the face of transformation, because I've got me.
Yeah.
But I never understood what that meant before now.
Yeah, or self-love.
Right.
Now I'm like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. Like, God, being able to love yourself in the depth of the underworld is the deepest love.
Without the money, without the other people, the relationships, in your own darkness, when you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can be with that person, you can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say about relationships during this time?
Well, romantic relationships for me, I've been on a year of celibacy. So that's just been a no.
Same.
No.
It's kind of impossible when you're in this
situation. Yeah. I became very sensitive and aware of other people's energetic fields and how it impacts mine.
Yeah, I've been Instacarting everything. I'm like, I can't even go to the store.
Yeah,
right
for
now.
A while, for 2.5 months, I barely left the house.
Yeah.
We sound so cool
I
right now.
Talk, and I go to yoga.
That's better than me. I straight up did not leave the house for a minute. Gosh, it's so funny. People are probably listening to this like, what?
No, Sadie was wrong like, with one you guys? Of the first days I actually put an outfit on. I was like, damn.
I love that.
You look good out of the sweatshirt.
Oh my gosh, that's great. That was me like this
sweatshirt
summer.
I keep washing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The one sweatshirt.
Yep, I get that. I so get that. Yeah, relationships for me have been interesting. I during this time, because I went such in a, I was in a somatic container, essentially, working with a psychosomatic therapist every single day for 2.5 months. And also I just want to name like the privilege of that and to have that support and to be able to take the time off that I did. And also every time I share this, I also want to speak to the fact that you don't have to do it this way in order to transform your own life. Anybody listening to this, it's like, you don't have to take 3 months off and go into the darkness.
And ease and grace if that happened.
Right.
And just, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I still don't know how I'm taking a little time off, you know, but it's just like you have to just trust when it gets to that point.
Right.
Like you have to call in the big guns and just pray.
Yeah.
Help me
totally
through this right now.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of surrender. A lot of.
Yeah. God.
A lot of praying.
Just support me.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of connection to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And really not connection to anybody else other than that, because for me, having outside noise, outside opinions, outside input in any form took me out of the process. So what I committed to for 2.5 months was no input of any kind, no social media, no phone calls, really. I barely talked to anybody, no social events, no hardly leaving the house, so that I could go so deep in my own psyche and wounding and I could uncover it and feel it. Because think about it. Like, if we, you feel something, it doesn't feel so good. What did many people do? I'm going to call my friend and I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to ruminate about it. And then we're going to go out to drinks and I'm going to numb out and I'm just going to say F it, right? Or like, I'm going to scroll on social media. You find yourself in a scroll hole. And a lot of this isn't even conscious, but you numb out and watch a Netflix show. You're not actually feeling the thing. You might feel kind of sad, but then you do something to distract yourself. And that's pretty much what our society does and what we're taught and what we're shown and what becomes our patterning. So in order for myself not to do that, I had to strip it all down. And all I did for 2.5 months was either draw, paint, lay on the grass, or cry in my bed. So that I had no input, because I didn't want to be taken out of the process. And I would go in these cycles of, they would last about 4 or 5 days, where I'd hit something that was like sticky and hard. And then I would go deep down into it. And on day number 4, I was like in the depths of the feeling, because I had absolutely nothing to break that. So all I did was go really deep into the feeling and to excavating it and to moving it through my body. And then once it moved, we would hit the bottom of that feeling. And then it would move out of my body. And then I would feel really good. And I'd be like, wow, this is working. This is great. On day like 5 or 6. And then we'd hit day 7. And then I would like start to feel something again. And the whole cycle would continue. And so that went on for a couple of months. So it required me not to really, I told all of my friends, don't invite me to anything because I'm not coming, so that I could be dedicated to this healing. But on kind of a more general level of relationships, other than that specific structured time that I had where I said no, it's just shifted a lot for me. So before, I wanted to do all the social things, I would go and do all the networking stuff, and it's just, I mean, the pedestalization of that has fallen, the allure of it has fallen for me. I don't have a huge, I'll go to things that feel deeply in alignment, but what I'm calling in and what I have called in now is just deep soul community, friendships, and the allure of the whole money and fame and followers in this industry that can be very pervasive. All of that became very smoke and mirrors to me. Mm-hmm. And I, now the only thing I want to pedestalize, and I even don't know if I want to use that language, but the thing that I want to strive for or to have around me is integrity, trust, community, depth, alignment, congruence. And I want to
hear.
Yeah. And I want to feel that in every single person that I'm around. And that's what I'm available for in my life now. So it shifted some of my relationships that weren't built with a backbone of congruence within them. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's such a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. It feels so good.
It feels so good. And mm-hmm. It takes so much trust and surrender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even through this, just letting people see you. I mean, I've had moments where I've really connected with deep soul people here, but just constantly on the brink of literally going into a portal, like you said, mm-hmm. where I'm like crying and I'm all of a sudden puking. I'm like having an exorcism, and like people like around me seeing that and taking this, oh my gosh, and I'm still loved after, right? Mm-hmm. And like really seeing who's there for it.
Yeah.
As I'm in this season and like getting, you know, the messages in the morning, like, you're doing it, baby girl.
Yeah.
You know, and being like, oh, you're there.
Mm-hmm. That is the coolest piece. And I love that you mentioned that, because that has been really healing for me on my journey, because I gone through some really deep shedding and allowed myself to be seen in the depths of it.
Yeah.
And it looks rough. And to be loved through that, and to be with people who are walking the path and who can see you and can hold you.
And also understand
it. And get it.
Yeah, because I always kept myself so like put together.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've opened all of this, mm-hmm. the stuff that's going on in my body and coming, it's like I can't control it.
Yeah.
It's been coming in physical ways.
Mm-hmm.
I was never the person who would like puke in front of someone or cry in front of someone. And in this season, it's just required full mm-hmm. on messiness.
Yeah.
Screaming, crying,
mm-hmm.
just at any given moment. Like I'm at like a little gathering and it just hits, you know?
Yeah.
But then seeing the love that can come after that. Mm-hmm. Just letting yourself be in this season.
Yeah.
It's a lot of trust.
That's something that's so beautiful and that I love about being here in Austin is that there's so many people with such a depth and capacity here.
Because people have walked this path.
Because they've walked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they get it. Yeah. And I feel like having this conversation with anybody that's like not in this world is kind of like, what do you mean? Like, that sounds crazy. And it does sound kind of crazy. Like, I think back to friendships that I used to be in years ago, right? And saying something like that would sound so weird. And here, it's so beautiful when you are seen in the depths of your messiness and your unraveling and the, quite frankly, very spiritual side of things that can happen. And for people to meet you with, we love you and thank you for letting us see you in your mess. And this is so beautiful. And I'm so
you're giving people
honored.
Permission. Yeah. That's so sacred.
Mm-hmm. And they mean it.
Yeah.
Those are the people that I want to be around. And I'm so lucky to have in my life. And I'm so glad that you found that here too. And I feel like we can be that for each other. And it's just, that is so healing and permission giving to feel like you can be seen and known in your messiest parts and still be loved. It's just...
Isn't it cool too how our souls knew, like we knew to move here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the place that was really right to go do this work. Because I have been searching for where I'm starting to land.
Yeah.
My whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really until I got here... I mean, I like crawled my way here with my eyes closed, barely alive, but it just unraveled. And to see, oh my gosh, there's a lot of support here for where I'm at.
Yeah, there's so much support. And I think that's like anybody listening, if you feel called to, you know, change your life in some way or move somewhere or, and it doesn't make any sense, it's like trust it.
Yeah.
Follow it because that's same. I mean, I moved here a year ago and I went through such a portal after coming here, but
I thought, oh my gosh, I'm here in Austin.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, oh shit.
Yeah. This place will also do that to you.
Yeah.
It will do it. It will illuminate everything that's not working. It will show you all the cracks you have in your foundation and also rebuild you back up. And it's very much jump and the net will appear and it will catch you and it will hold you and the right people will come into your awareness, into your field. And it's been such a transformational space and time. And I think it's just such a testament, the fact that you and I are willing to trust and to do the thing that maybe doesn't make sense or, you know, let's pack up our whole life and move across the country where I don't even know anybody. And because this is what my soul is calling and telling me to do. And I think it's just, that's the part of being on the path and allowing it to unfold is trusting those hits and those knowings and doing the thing.
So where are you now as you're reemerging?
Love that.
And how did that come through? How did you know that was time? That it was time or you feel like it's time?
It was a felt sense that I had in my body. And I also physically moved places. I moved from a high-rise apartment into a house on the ground, which was really needed and much more space. And I could just feel... It was an authentic unfolding of true desire that was coming through me. And I could feel that a lot of the little pieces that were cracked started to fill. And I just felt really fortified and ready. And the message started to pour through me. And now, where I'm at, I mean, logistically, starting in the beginning of January, we're relaunching It's Fucking Spiritual podcast and on video, and it's going to be fully produced and really fun. And I've got the studio in my home now. It just feels like everything is so expansive. It's so ready. But the work that I'm doing is changing and how it's informing how I'm showing up and how there's such a deeper level of embodiment and understanding and knowing that I know that I can take people to because I went there myself to the depths and I get it and I know it. So I'll be teaching, I used to teach manifestation, right? From the realm of subconscious reprogramming and uncovering your limiting beliefs and all of those things. And that's all great and it's great work and it's true work, but it's not the whole story.
Yeah.
And so now my teachings are shifting to more of somatic manifestation and nervous system regulation and how do you expand your capacity to what it is that you can hold and how do you be able to hold yourself in your darkest moments and helping people to repattern the safety that they feel in their body when they get into those triggered moments and in those fight or flight and become safely embodied in themselves. And I've been on a deep journey over the past 7 months of becoming certified in all of this and doing it for myself as well and walking this path. Because it's one thing to be certified. It's a whole other thing to actually walk it.
Yeah.
And so doing both of those things and just beginning to share new programs and new ways to embody in your own being and connect to your deeper mission and to your purpose. And so it's a lot of similar flavor, but it's coming from a much deeper place. And I'm just so deeply committed to congruence in the way that I share, in who I have on my show, in what I'm promoting, in the ways I'm doing. And it's just the stickiness around like, oh, I need to do this or have these people on or these, like that whole swirl is just I'm not here for it anymore.
Yeah.
And I hope that that's felt through, what I'm sharing.
Is. Even how you're speaking is different.
Thanks. Yeah, really? Oh, I love that. It feels different.
It just is coming from such a deep inner knowing place. And that's the beauty. It's like you don't need anything from anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
and
exactly.
So what you're doing, you want to be doing. Mm-hmm. You don't need anything. That's such a different space to be coming from.
Yeah.
And then your work and these conversations, all it is just lighting the way for other people to do the same.
Yeah, exactly. It's helping people to come home to themselves and to trust the field and the unfolding.
Yeah. And it's the time. Yeah. It's the time. The age of Aquarius is here.
I love it.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
We had this conversation.
Me too. It's been a long time coming.
I know. We've been messaging since this summer.
I know.
To do this. So good. But we both weren't ready.
I know. Until now. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this conversation and if you like this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you gave it a rating and review. This just helps the podcast grow and flourish, and it truly means so much to me every time I hear from each and every one of you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And to stay in touch, you can follow me on Instagram at Kenzie Burke. That is the home to all of my endeavors, and then at Body Forward and bodyforward.com. All things Body Forward. Please stay tuned as there is much to come and much to launching, from new programs to an entirely new membership platform that is launching in this new year, in spring, a modality that I have been creating that's been birthed out of pure necessity and that has been truly changing my life before my own eyes. And I'm so thrilled to bring this to the world and to bring this to you. And so keep your eyes peeled. March is the month. And stay in touch. I'll see you on the next episode.